Missionary Brad Walls a warm round of applause and a special AFA welcome today.
It's an honor to be with you, and if any of you were here in the church in 1986 and 87, and when Pastor Nelson was there, and you've been in that church, you've been supporting us for that time, and I want to thank you for your faithfulness. And all the others who've come since then and just continued that mission's DNA, but I want to thank you for your faithfulness and allowing us to be on the field and others like us. So thank you very much. And so I'm going to tell you, I have some prayer cards out under the missions area, so you can grab one of those. And someone showed me a prayer card from the last time I was here in July 31st of 2016. So that was, it was a beautiful day then too. I don't think I brought the nice weather, but yesterday they had all these records broken across South Dakota. And I'm from here on South Dakota, and so it's never been on a plane in my life until I went to Africa for a year, and then the Lord's taken us all around the world. So it's really a special thing to be back in South Dakota, so close to where I grew up. I want to share a little bit about what we've done, and then I'll go into the message in a moment. So we've done something fairly unique, and the Lord put a burden on our heart. And so I grew up in a great missions church, but the mentality that sometimes we would have, the mentality we can sometimes have as Americans, is that the world depends on us to reach the world. And certainly God has used America to make a huge impact in the world. But a biblical paradigm would be God raises up the church to win the world. So Pastor Ben and Sam aren't challenging you to do missions because you're Americans, but because we're Christians. So an important difference. So we went to Argentina. The Holy Spirit gave me a very specific burden to see Argentina go from being only a receiver to also being a sender. And that they too had because we have the same Bible. We have the same Bible. And so we went to Argentina, and this was our missions department when we started there. And it was a hard first 6 years, really hard first 6 years. But today they have over 200 missionaries going to over 50 nations. And in fact, this poster is even a few years old, and they have larger posters now. And so it's exciting to see how God has taken that and made that take place. And so again, your church started supporting us when this was just a dream, and you're part of what has happened there. And so then a number of years later, the superintendent of Latin America said, if Argentina can do it, maybe we can do it. And so we began working on a Latin America basis in 1998, 25 years ago, and helping all of Latin America, that little by little, that vision spreading to other countries. And then in 2009, our superintendent happened to be elected to be the chairman of the World Assembly of God Fellowship Missions network of our 160 general councils around the world. And he said, can you help us do this on a world level? So we began doing that since 2009 on a world level. And the Lord is allowing us to work with 107 countries today. In fact, we just got 107th about 2 weeks ago. We had 106, and a new country came along, and we're working with them recently and mentoring and giving them orientation. So it's exciting to see that take place. And I want to again thank you for your faithfulness that has allowed us to do that for these many years. So John 3:16, I want to look in the Word this morning. And we have a very famous verse that you all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. So I want to look at that verse in a moment through missions eyes, not just salvation eyes. We know that verse through salvation eyes. I want to look at that from a missions perspective. So we have a saying, what's on the slide, that's on the screen. Missions is done with the feet of those who go, the knees of those who pray and stay, and the hands of those who give. So that that saying we're going to look at reflects in John 3:16. But that saying is an old English saying. I actually like it even better in Spanish. In Spanish, it's got punch. In English, it's okay. Misiones se hace con los pies de lo que van, las rodillas de lo que quedan y ahora la mano que dan. In Spanish, it's got punch. In English, it's okay. But so we have that poster I'll show you the poster right there. And that poster we've translated in 11 languages. And it's in Hindi, Portuguese, French, Swahili. It's in 11 different languages. And again, in Spanish, it's even better than English, but it's okay in English. Missions is done with the feet of those who go, the knees of those who pray and stay, and the hands of those who give. So we see that saying reflected in Romans 10, 14, and 15. And John 3:16, that verse we just read, reflects this saying, because we see that we're going to look at in a minute, where Jesus, we had a goer and a sender. We had beautiful hands and we had beautiful feet. So Romans 10, 14 and 15 says, how then can they call on the one on whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one on whom they have not heard? And how they can hear they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news. And that verse Paul is actually quoting from Isaiah 52:7. That verse is actually Paul's Bible at the time would have been the Old Testament. So he was actually quoting that. How beautiful are them on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Isaiah 52:7, and Paul is quoting that in Romans 14 and 15. So we see that verse. When I was growing up in our church, people would say it a different way. They'd say, everybody is a goer or a sender. So that's really what we're saying. Everybody has a call to missions. Either you have a call to go or a call to send. And so I want to talk first about in a moment on the going call. But everyone has a call to missions. And so in John 3:16, we see that reflected of a goer and a sender. But first of all, in John 16, it says, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world. So there is a TV program on I think it's Monday nights, Bob Hart's Abishola, and it's about a Detroit businessman who marries a Nigerian immigrant, and so they use the word heart, and so that's a popular, we use that all the time in our cell phone language. We heart something, God love the world, and that is our challenge. That is part of the challenge we have to have a missions heart is because it's not easy to love the world. So obviously a lot of you love the world or you would not be supporting all the missionaries you do and being a blessing to us and supporting someone like us for 38 years. But a lot for Americans in general and for Christians in general, I would want to propose to you that it's not natural to love the world. It's supernatural. So, loving the world is something that the Holy Spirit helps us to do. So, if you have a vision for the world, you're abnormally good. You're marching to a different drummer. You have a supernatural because it's not natural. The natural thing would be just our world, my home, my family, my city, my state, my country, my world. And it's not natural to love the world, but it says God so loved the world. So that's our first key, is to help the Holy Spirit change us to not just love my world, but to love the world. And that's our challenge, to be supernaturally touched, because it's not natural to love the world. And God so loved the world, and because of that, we are able to receive what he's given to us because he loved the world. A lot of times we're nearsighted instead of farsighted. So we only can see what's close. And we need the Holy Spirit to put on spiritual eyeglasses to see the world through God's eyes and not our eyes. And so we only can see what's close, but God so loved the world. So for us to care what's going on in Afghanistan and in Africa and other places, who cares what's going on in a natural sense? But then the Lord helps us to have a spiritual sense and a supernatural sense and look at the world not through our eyeglasses, but through his eyeglasses. For God so loved the world. So Jesus, the first point of John 3:16 is that God so loved the world. The second point of John 3:16, looking at it from missional perspective and not a salvation only perspective, is that Jesus was willing to go. So Jesus told his disciples in Luke 10:2, "The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers into his harvest field." And in that verse, so oftentimes we would think that missions begins with money, and we have money, and that's why we do missions, and that's what people would think about in other countries. Well, America, they have money, and so that's why they do missions. And according to the Bible, there's not a shortage of money to do missions, there's a shortage of people. So the Bible says, ask the Lord of the harvest for workers, and he will call forth workers into the harvest field. So the shortage that we have is not of money. According to the Bible, it's of workers. To me, something the Holy Spirit put in my heart a month ago, every call of God is like a work of art. So in Spanish, it's obra de arte. It sounds more elegant in Spanish, that part. But work of art. And don't misunderstand, in English, a lot of things are very elegant in English. But in that phrase, and a work of art, an obra de arte. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the one who calls, is painting on that canvas. Every call of God is a work of art. Every call of God is unique and creative because every one of us are unique and creative. And so that God could take someone from one place and take him to another place and use him, every call of God is a work of art and a miracle. And so in Argentina, the Holy Spirit began to call young people, and the church did not understand it. And they had not, my mom passed away a year and a half ago. She was praying all the time, but I always would tease her, "You're praying low and not high," because she would pray this Luke 10:2 prayer, and she would say, "God, raise more Americans for the harvest. Raise more Americans." So I said, "Mom, you're praying low. You're not praying high. You're praying for Americans. What about all the other countries?" So the point of that is, my mom was not praying for Argentines to be called. Argentina was not praying this prayer over their country. No one's praying for missionaries from Argentina to be called. And the Holy Spirit intervenes and begins to call young people. Because he can intervene. And he can do something that we're not praying for. In his mercy and grace. And he begins to, so we had a 17-year-old girl who had been called. She was a baby Christian, 3-month-old baby Christian. And God calls her to one of the hardest nations of the world. And she goes to her pastor, Pastor, God's called me. And he says, "You can't do that. That's something that North Americans and Europeans do, Canadians, United States, Northern Europe. We could never do that." And she said, "But God called me." And so you had a 3-month-old Christian, and in some ways who understood in this situation something that her seasoned pastor didn't understand, because his mentality was, "God can't do that with us." So God called these young people, and they didn't know what to do. And then the Lord put us in the right place at the right time. We began to help them understand, the church understand, yes, you can. But the point of it is, you need beautiful feet to go. So here's my point with John 3:16. Imagine Jesus saying, "I don't want to go." So we talk about culture shock to go to another country. Argentina's got some of the best food in the world. We're talking Sunday school. And so an Argentine who loves beef, they have some of the best. They don't craft the corn feed their beef. They just put them out. They have some, and they eat beef, and they have these barbecues that last for like 10 hours because they cook it forever, and it's just an all-day event. So, you know, you just don't do it for, you don't just put it on the gas grill. And, you know, it's the first time we had some Argentines over, and they said, "You put that thing on the gas grill and you only do it in an hour, that's not right. You got to do it a long day long." And so they go that, and they go to India where there's no meat and there's no beef. And they're going to have a culture shock. And you've got, you've got somebody who we have go from one place to another, and we have culture shock. The greatest culture shock in history was Jesus coming from heaven to earth, leaving the perfection of heaven and coming to a planet contaminated with sin. We talk about all the the contamination of sin. And knowing that they were going to spit in his face. Philippians 2, 6 through 8 says, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in its appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So we have this huge gap that Jesus was willing to go. And if no one is willing to go, you don't have missions. Someone has to be willing to go. And God can call people from, you know, we had my wife, when we heard this testimony of this 17-year-old, and she said, I don't want the next generation of pastors to telling their 17-year-olds, we can't do that. So she took Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge material. So today Argentina has over 200 missionaries. They have lots of stories to tell. They don't need American stories. But 35 years ago, we didn't have any Argentine stories to tell. And so we took material. One of my wife's favorite stories was Lillian Trasher in Egypt. And she had a call to Egypt, and she was engaged to be married. And her husband didn't feel a call. She broke off her engagement, went to Egypt, never had natural children, but had hundreds of spiritual children through orphanage. And the Egyptian Assemblies of God was birthed through that orphanage. And today, even some of the favor that the Egyptian Assemblies of God have in Egypt comes yet from that orphanage of 100 years ago and the impact it had. And so she told that story, and we translate in Spanish, and we're telling stories because we didn't have Argentine stories to tell. And God called a 5-year-old girl to missions many years ago. And today she's in Africa when she's 5 years old. So I want you to understand that God can call a 5-year-old over in the kids area. He can call one of your 17-year-olds. The point of it is that we need to pray that Luke 10:2 prayer over the church and pray that God will keep calling forth people. But the point of it is Jesus was willing to go. And if you don't have a goer, you don't have missions. Someone has to be willing to go. And that was our challenge. And as God began to call young people, that the church would understand, God has called them. Someone has to be willing to go. Then someone has to be willing to send them. And God was willing to send Jesus. Imagine if God had said, "Stay here." You know, they're gonna spit in your face. They're gonna treat you bad. They're going to kill you on the cross. You are here. Stay here. God had to be willing to send the best he had. So you have to have someone willing to go. Jesus had to be willing to go. And you have to have someone willing to send them. God had to be willing to say, I'm willing to send you. And how will they go? So we go back to Romans. We've talked a moment ago about Romans 10, 14, and 15. And how will they hear unless someone preaches to them? That's a beautiful feat. And how will they go unless they are sent? So that was our bigger challenge in Argentina. The church did not have that missions DNA. They didn't have that vision. They had the mentality, we're poor, we can't do that. And so we had to help them understand, the call of God, God sent the best he have. We need to be willing to send. And unless they will go, how will they go unless they are sent? That was our challenge, again, for people to understand that call to go. So I want to challenge you, first of all, on the sending part for a moment. I mean, on the going part. Obviously, everybody doesn't have a call to go, or there'd be nobody here in church. But I also do want to challenge you on the Pastor Sam was telling me and Pastor Ben yesterday about the short-term trips you're going to have. That excited me to hear. I have never met someone that didn't take a missions trip that didn't come back changed. And you go to bless a place, and the place blesses you. That's God's harvest. We go to bless, and God blesses us. And give, and it shall be given unto you. And so I just want to encourage you to follow that vision and take advantage of different trips that you have in the next couple years and down the road, because you can go on a short-term trip too, and it's not the same as going as a life and a long-term. But you also never know if God will call you. So some of you may be scared. I don't want God to call me. Don't worry. He's not going to call you. He's not going to call you to something he's not going to give you joy to do. So don't worry about that. Go on that trip and enjoy that trip. I want to encourage you to do that. But the sending part, having the beautiful hands and the beautiful knees, we cannot do missionaries, have missionaries go without those who send. And so that's where your church has been a sending church for years and years and decades and decades and decades. And that was our challenge, to build that DNA in Argentina, because they did not have that DNA. And so we need the beautiful knees and the beautiful hands. That was our challenge. So first of all, I want to talk about beautiful knees for a moment. Psalm 2:8 says, "Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession." Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. And so, again, sometimes when we pray low when God says, pray high. God says, ask of me the nations. And we ask God for so many other things, which aren't wrong. It's not wrong. But God says, ask of me the nations. And I want to challenge all of you, if we would just not just give to missions, but pray, an hour a month for missions would be 15 minutes a week or 3 minutes a day. Just to pray as well and to be intercessors. And I want to tell you a story of an intercessor that God used to touch a nation in an incredible way. And he lived very close to here when God used him. His name was Kelvin Olson, and he was a missionary to Bangladesh for 35 years. And he had a ministry of intercession. And God used him at different times for 40-day fast. He was a person, you know, he was what I call a major league intercessor. You know, in baseball in the United States, we have single A and double A and triple A and major league. And so we have these. He was a major league intercessor. And so I want to come back to that at the end to challenge you, because you say, I'm not a major league intercessor, and neither am I. But he was in Wilmer, Minnesota, retired. Living in Wilmer, Minnesota, retired. And God puts a burden on his heart back in the early 90s for Albania. Albania was the only nation in the world that was an atheistic nation. It was in their constitution and bylaws, probably because they're in the Balkan area of Europe, where they have the tensions between Islam and Christianity, nominal Islam, nominal Christianity. We saw a war years ago in Kosovo. Sarajevo was there, and all these tensions. And so they were probably as much in fear of Islam as Christianity, but it was atheistic, and there were no Bibles, there were no churches, there were no missionaries. It was probably the most closed country in the world at that time, if not the most closed, one of the most closed, and even though it was in Europe. And Kelvin Olson, God speaks to him and gives him a burden, and he goes on a 90-day prayer journey for Albania, 90 days. And he was fasting and praying. And leaders from Springfield, Missouri, literally went up and were worried about him, because he was frail. He was kind of skinny. He wasn't real, you know, he didn't look like he's really got a lot of, and they were worried about his health, and they asked him to break the fast. And good intercessors are humble and submissive. So if intercessors aren't humble and submissive, they sometimes play with fire in a bad way. So good intercessors are humble and submissive. So he broke and went on juice fast and soup fast, and it wasn't a complete fast, be out of submission to his leadership, and for 90 days. And literally the last month. Some students from North Central University at that time, Bible College, heard about it. Back then, we didn't have WhatsApp, we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have internet, we didn't have all that stuff back then. I suppose they just found out about it, who knows how, and they stayed in touch through the old landlines on the phone. You know, the students of North Central, not near as intense involved as him. They were young, he was old, but they were supporting each other, praying for this country of Albania. Shortly after 90 days, the Lord gave him the fast is done. The victory's been done. Gave him release. It's okay. The victory has been won. And within a few months, the government falls there. Missionaries were on the ground immediately. We had Assembly of God missionaries leave one country and go to there right away, like the Marines on the ground. YWAM people went in there right away, like the Marines on the ground. We had immediately, and the Assemblies of God Albania today is still, you know, it's not a large church for Europe, but they're there. They have over 30 churches, and they've actually sent a missionary to Macedonia in Europe, in northern Greece. They've actually sent a missionary, a small country of 30 churches, and so I come back later on, they were interviewing him for a book on spiritual warfare, and he was so humble. He said, I'm sure there was lots of people praying. But the point of it is, sometimes as Americans, we think everything happens through strength. And you know what? A lot of things happen through weakness. And so I just want to challenge you. Some of you say, well, I could never do that. I want to tell you, I couldn't either. I'm not a major leaguer, so I'm not sure which, I'm not going to try to put myself where I'm at. But I'm not a major leaguer, right? But the point of it is, you know, and I joked, the Holy Spirit put this idea in my hands or in my mind a few years ago. Every one of us can enjoy summer softball. We don't have to be a major leaguer to pray and intercede. So I want to just challenge you. The point of it is, sometimes we say it's easier to give $20 than to give 20 minutes because we're busy. And that's what I want to try to challenge you to do, that when you think of missions, you're not just thinking of giving some money, but you're thinking of giving some time. And an hour a month is 3 minutes a day or 15 minutes a week. And how you want to do that, or you may want to do the whole, you know, I'm going to take 1 hour because I can't, 3 minutes a day, whatever. Everybody's different. Everybody's got different personalities. The Holy Spirit. The point of it is, challenge you to pray an hour a month for the world, not for your world, not for Aberdeen. Now, Aberdeen's included in the world. You can pray for Aberdeen. I'm just trying to say, not just for my world, but for the world. And from Wilmer, Minnesota, somebody touched Albania. Now, he was a major leaguer. We're not all major leaguers, but God can use you. And some of you are older, and you have something younger people don't have. You have time. Take that as a gift and not a curse. Use that as a blessing. Some of you could pray an hour a day. Now, it's like going to the gym and lifting weights. You don't start, you know, you don't start trying to do that right away. But some of you have time to do that. Others don't. But some of you have time, and the Lord, you say, how do I pray? There's so many materials, there's so many resources, there's so much to do, and the Holy Spirit prays through us in intercession. But the point of it is, I want to challenge you, we need senders, include beautiful feet. And so it's been exciting to see God raise up intercessors around the world for missions. So beautiful feet, and then beautiful knees. Excuse me, just one. Knees that pray an hour a month is only 2 minutes. Am I getting an hour a month? Would be 2 minutes a day. Yep, 2 minutes a day. An hour a week is only 9 minutes. An hour a week is only 9 minutes a day. An hour a month, only 2 minutes a day. 15 minutes a week. The point of it is, there's a difference between prayer and intercession. Prayer has to do with us. Intercession has to do with others, like a lawyer interceding on a client. So I want to challenge you that we would not just be prayers, but that we'd be intercessors as well. Intercessors. So, beautiful hands that give. Romans 12:2. I want to use a real unique verse for giving. So we know all the word, given shall be given unto you, and those verses are all, those verses work all over the world. They really work. They're not American verses. They're God's word. But I want to use a unique verse to challenge us to have beautiful hands that give. Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I want to challenge you, the world, how do we have beautiful hands to give? We have hands that are not conformed, but transformed. We have a mind that's not conformed, but transformed. So all of us have that challenge of being squeezed into the pattern of this world. I mean, we watch the news, we hear this, we hear that, and all of us are tempted. Inflation is bad, and interest rates are bad, and we live those realities. It's not that we deny them, but the point of it is we don't let the world squeeze us into its mold. But we have become mold breakers and break molds. So in Argentina, I have a bill in my pocket. I won't pull it out. I showed it in Sunday school that was worth $1,000 in 2002, and today it's worth $1. And I have other bills that were worth, a bill that would have been worth $10 today is worth like 10 cents. And a bill that was worth $1, and so they have, their inflation rate is per day what ours is per year. So, I mean, it's a mess. And yet, how can they do missions? Because God's word works anywhere. And we have his promises of provision. And given, it shall be given unto you. Now, does that mean things are going great? No, they have a lot of difficulties here. But the point of it is we challenge if everybody would do something. And if everybody would give a Coca-Cola or a kilo of bread or this. Or one time we even used text messages because years ago, at that time they had to pay by the text message. And, kids would come home and their parents were going crazy because they get this huge bill because of all the text. And so we just said if everybody would just give up something small. And then it becomes as everybody does that, they begin to send over 100 missionaries, and then over 150 missionaries, and over 200. And the point of it is, hands that are not conformed to the pattern of this world, but hands that are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So I just want to challenge you that if you're not giving to missions on an ongoing basis, start doing it, and just don't let the world squeeze you into its pattern, but have transformed mind. And Romans 12, as we don't march to the drum of this world, but march to a different drummer, and then God blesses us, and we've seen God's blessing on his church in Argentina. We've seen churches that just the miracles that take place, and as people give, and saying, God provides for my needs, and seeing them do what they're doing, not because of a country or a culture, but because of God's word and God's presence. And so don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be a mold breaker. Be a mold breaker. And then the point of it is that Jesus was willing to go. So we go back. First point of John 3:16, God so loved the world. That's our challenge. Love the world. Have a supernatural perspective, not a natural one, because it's not natural to love the world. So it becomes a supernatural thing. Number two, Jesus was willing to go. We have to have a goer. Number three, God was willing to send Jesus. You have to have a sender. And God gave the best he had. And number four, the result of all that was eternal life. So we have Assemblies of God work going on in 200 countries of the world. We have some of the churches in the world are stronger than the United States now. Not, and you got to understand, we have lots of denominations, and they don't always have lots of denominations. So that's not a bad thing. But I'm just saying we have some incredible works that God has raised up around the world today. And we have things that God has done in mercy ministries and humanitarian, and so many things taking place, fruit, because there was someone loved the world, there was a goer, and there was a sender, and the result was eternal life, fruit. So this is harvest country, farmers. And October is always a special time to see the harvest coming in and see people, you know, bring in the harvest and what's going on. And you don't have a harvest without all the work of all that year long. So again, you have someone loves the world, someone's called to go, someone sends them, and then you have the harvest. You have fruit, churches around the world, new churches planted, new people that God has raised up, churches that didn't exist 10 years ago today that are doing amazing things. And it's all because there was a goer and there was a sender. And so I want to thank you again for being faithful. But if you're not, I want you to pray that God would keep raising up goers, and that could come from here, and that you would be a sender in beautiful knees and beautiful hands. So we kept sender, and then the result is eternal life fruit that God is doing around the world. So I want to just take a moment to pray. If you'd stand with me, I want to pray both prayers today. I want to pray for beautiful knees, and I want to pray for beautiful hands. So first of all, I want to pray for beautiful knees. So Lord, your word says the harvest is great, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers in this harvest field. So Lord, we pray for beautiful knees to come out of Aberdeen, First Assembly. We pray, dear Lord, for beautiful knees to come out of South Dakota, to come out of the United States. But we also pray for beautiful knees in Latin America, in Argentina, in Europe, in Africa, in Asia. We pray that you'd raise up beautiful knees around the world. And Lord, if you could call a 17-year-old and a 5-year-old in Argentina when they were not praying that prayer over their country, Lord, we pray that you would call forth 5-year-olds and 17-year-olds out of Aberdeen First Assembly. And sometimes they may be a 37-year-old or 47, but we just pray to the Lord that you'd raise up beautiful feet. And I pray for all the people that will go on missions trips, that you would bless them, and not just to be a blessing, but you would bless them as well. And may they come back with a greater commitment to the world harvest. And when they're, Lord, we pray for beautiful knees and beautiful hands. We pray for the senders. And so, Lord, we pray that some people who have never prayed for the world, that you would put a burden on their heart to pray for the world, and that they would be intercessors, not just prayers. So we pray, dear Lord, not just for prayers, but for intercessors. And we pray, dear Lord, you'd raise up beautiful knees to pray for the harvest fields of the world. Lord, we know that there's a great harvest, and we're in spiritual warfare today, and there's our world is uncertain. We can only see the world won with beautiful knees. And we ask your Lord that you would raise up some beautiful knees here. And I thank you for the beautiful hands who have been so faithful for so many years in this church. I pray that you would raise up new beautiful hands. I pray for some people who are new here or some young people who have never done it before, but that you would give them that conviction of also having the beautiful hands to send the beautiful feet. So we pray, dear Lord, that you would bless and raise up beautiful hands to send out the beautiful feet that you are raising up. And so we thank you, dear Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in harvest. Lord, we pray for your blessing on this church. Thank you, dear Lord. I pray for your blessing on Pastor Ben and his family and the other pastors, and we pray that you continue to bless this church. And may they be a lighthouse in this community. And we pray, dear Lord, that you would use them for this community and this state. In your name we pray. Amen.
Would you give it up for our missionary? You can be seated for just a minute. A couple things we want to do before we close this morning. And the first one is this. Talking about beautiful hands, we want to send. Right, we want to send. We want to continue to equip our missionaries, and so today we're going to receive an offering for our missionary and for the works of these 107 countries that he gets to help send missionaries out of today. So, if you'd like to give towards that, anything that's not marked is otherwise, you know, if you don't mark it, tithes or offerings, whatever that might be, is going to go towards this. It's going to go towards our missionary. So you can give a few different ways. It's on the screen there. And you can use the envelope in the back. You can give online. You can give through texting. We are going through that. There's a brand new system for text to give and all of those different things. The instructions are on the back side of your bulletin. You can set that up. Real simple. You can text a number there. It'll bring you through some prompts. So thank you for doing that. But let's give. Let's continue to sow into this ministry. We give monthly, but it's fun when you're in here that we can just bless you a little bit more and the projects that they're working towards. It's just amazing what God can do. So you can take some time and do that now. You can drop the envelope off before you leave today. Another thing that I'd like you guys to do before you head out, be sure to stop by the booth out there. There are prayer cards that you can be reminded to pray for each and every day. Again, I love that concept of praying for the world. We often pray for our needs, we pray for ourselves, but when have we taken the time to just stop and intercede for the people around this world? And let's take up that challenge. Let's take up that challenge to send, to pray, to believe that God is going to do life-transforming things all across this world. It's amazing to think that we are part of the church, capital C church. It's not just in Aberdeen, it's not just in South Dakota or America, but it's every country. We are part of the church. We are part of the kingdom of God. And so it's amazing to hear these stories of, was it over 200 in Argentina who've been sent out now? And that's been going on for a while. It's taken a while to get up there. But now there's so many other countries that are jumping on board, that are starting missions programs, that are sending them out. And even if they're third world countries, God can still use them to send out and have that heart for missions, because we all have the same Bible. We all have the same commands to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So it's amazing that we get to be a part of that. So thank you for giving today. And finally, what we want to do is we want to, you can't get away from us without us praying for you. All right. So if you would just stand, come right in the middle. We're going to pray for our missionary. Would you stand with me to close today? We are going to pray for our missionary. Why don't you, if you're close, gather around. Let's lay hands on our missionary. We believe that God is just going to do incredible things, continue to do that through this amazing couple, Brad and Rhonda. And so let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. Oh, Lord, thank you for calling this couple, God, almost four decades ago. God, I thank you that they have been faithful to follow that call, first to Argentina, then to Latin America, and then to the world. And Lord, I pray that you would just bring your blessing on their lives, bring their blessing on their marriage and on their family and the kids and grandkids, Lord. We just pray that you would move in your power, God, in your might. We pray that you would give wisdom, God, as they're launching new mission-sending organizations, God, across this globe, as he's traveling across the world. Lord, I pray for strength. God, I pray for wisdom as he's communicating to so many in so many different cultures. And Lord, we pray that this would just catch fire across the nation, across the world. God, that you would send laborers for this harvest. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So, Lord, would you rise up the next generation of laborers? God, would you just call? Lord, would you continue to call, and would they be faithful to follow that call, that they would be desperate to reach this world? So, Lord, we thank you that we can partner with. We thank you that we can pray, God, and that we can give. And Lord, even today, would you call up people right here, God, to go into all the world to be missionaries? So, Lord, bless Brad and Rhonda today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, church. Again, stop by the booth before you leave today, and we're believing God for great things.